All right. So here's my testimony. So this is my testimony on how God went about drawing me and showing me my brokenness, my need for a Redeemer, saving me by showing me Christ's sacrificial and sufficient love for me, and growing in me daily sanctification through the means of grace at GCBC. I want to read for you from Charles Spurgeon's devotional writings regarding John 17:17, titled, Sanctify Them Through Thy Truth. It is my belief that a Christian's testimony should be solidly built on the cornerstone of Christ's sacrificial redemption of their depraved human state through the Holy Spirit drawing and justifying them by faith in Christ alone. I also contend that any Christian who has walked with Christ for some time should share the glories that Christ is doing in him to bring him into Christ's likeness through the sufferings of this life and the workings of God's inspired word in their heart and the outworkings of the local church. So let's take a look at Morning and Evening Devotion by Charles Spurgeon, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite books. Sanctification begins in regeneration. The Spirit of God infuses into man that new living principle by which he becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. This work, which begins in the new birth, is carried out in two ways. Mortification, whereby the lusts of the flesh are subdued and kept under, and vivification, by which the life which God has put within us is made to be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is carried on every day in what is called perseverance, by which the Christian is preserved and continued in a gracious state and is made to abound in good works into the praise and glory of God. And it culminates or comes to perfection in glory when the soul being thoroughly perfected in glory, when the soul being thoroughly purged is caught up to dwell with holy beings at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But while the Spirit of God is thus the author of sanctification, yet there is a visible agency employed which must not be forgotten. Sanctify them, said Jesus, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The passages of Scripture which prove that the instrument of our sanctification is the word of God are very many. The Spirit of God brings to our minds the precepts and the doctrines of truth and applies them with power. These are heard in the ear, and being received in the heart, they work in us to will and to do God's good pleasure. The truth is the sanctifier, and if we do not hear or read the truth, we shall not grow in sanctification. The only progress in sound living as we progress in sound understanding. Thy word is thy lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Do not say in error, it is a mere matter of opinion. No man indulges in error of judgment without sooner or later tolerating an error in practice. Hold fast the truth, for by holding the truth you shall be sanctified by the Spirit of God. So one of the steps in the process of updating our website presence is to update our published biographies. For some of the leadership and volunteers here at GCBC. Following on what is written or will be written in this section on GCBC leadership, I thought it prudent to present my Christian testimony in a way that helps you better understand what God has done to save me, and more importantly, what God is doing to grow me in Christ as I serve here with you in Grace Community Bible Church. It is written, or at least drafted, to say, Jim is an experienced leader, serving as a pastoral assistant and an elder in training, focusing on biblical counseling, discipleship, youth ministry, outreach, and leadership. So let's touch on a couple of those areas. First, my experience as a leader and a manager came from consulting and my military careers. These careers provided much leadership training, practice, and assignments to learn my shortfalls and the success of others around me. But ministry leadership and motivating volunteers is very different from leading those and managing those who work under you and for you. I ask for your prayers as I continue to learn servant leadership from you, our church, our leadership team here, and Christ Himself, who is the perfect servant leader. So why is biblical counseling first on my list of ministry service areas? Well, in honesty, because I really like biblical counseling. But why? I have a heart for helping people uncover the root of thoughts and beliefs and issues that underlie their thinking, their actions, and ultimately their behaviors. The key to biblical change is taking your thoughts captive, to put off wrong thinking and put on right thinking. Often this takes one-on-one relationships. Call it counseling, discipleship, practical theology, or the one another's of fellowship. We do not grow biblically and change as Lone Ranger Christians. Is not discipleship just a buzzword? And where is the discipleship formal program anyway? Can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question. Understand, discipleship is simply doing the one another's as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are all gifted differently, and the Holy Spirit will align us with opportunities to encourage, to draw out, to listen, to weep, to laugh, study scriptures, align theological understanding, and hold accountable each of us as disciples in Jesus Christ. It is a compilation of many aspects of progressive sanctification. Discipleship is not a buzzword, but rather it is a framework of how we think about our roles as ambassadors of Christ among the local church body, and it places its identity in Christ alone. Why do I have a heart for youth ministry? Having served as a commander for nearly 20 years in the military, one of the most rewarding and important roles I had was knowing the heart, motivations, the challenges of my airmen and soldiers and what they were facing in life. Oftentimes I was able to speak into their lives to align them with a mentor that could help them with major struggles that they were facing. The sheer number of young men and women that were assigned to my units and their very struggles with identity and our society and their social circles was very evident. These young men and women were leaving the protection of their parents, their family, and their friends, facing new challenges, stresses, and decisions that they were not prepared to handle, not just yet on their own. I asked questions. I listened, encouraged. I reprimanded. I disciplined. I motivated. I failed and succeeded as their commander. Oftentimes, these struggles boiled down to guess what? Selfish desires and their identity, who they saw themselves as, a lack of trust or a knowledge in God, and broken parenting within the home and their extended families. I encouraged many to seek Christ in biblical thinking as they suffered through significant challenges in their early adulthood, and it impacted them for many years to come. I see today an ever-increasing assault on our teens and our young adults that boils down to biblical truth. Biblical truth being rejected as they place their focus instead on aligning their identity with their peer groups. Our youth in and outside of our church need our time, they need our understanding, our support, encouragement, and most importantly, our prayers. This is a fully faceted approach, including biblical parenting, expositional preaching, theological teaching, adult mentorship, peer fellowship, and individual and group prayer. We must place a priority on biblical worldview to help prepare our youth for transition into adulthood to face the very dark times that are ahead. In the end, it is their walk with Christ that matters. So we can only impact that process so much, but it is our duty to Christ and to their parents to come alongside them as mentors and ministry leaders in our local church to ensure that this happens. Now, as we've taught about this past summer, local churches can easily fall into one ditch or another in regards to being community focused. Community is both internal to the congregation and external to those that we rub shoulders with every day outside of this church. It is not lost on me that the church is for the sheep, to prepare them to disciple the one another's in Christ and to evangelize the unsaved. GCBC has been blessed with a strong community internally, doing the one another's, encouraging biblical growth through life's many struggles and sufferings. Reaching outside is a bit more challenging, as many people we encounter are unchurched, and or they're suffering from pain and hurt brought on by those who are associated with the church in some way. To those, we need to meet them where they are. We need to ask questions, learn, point them to the truth, pray, discover, and yes, even sometimes debate. But it all must be done in Christ's love and in the sovereign power of God. So it is apparent that we must be diligent in being proactive to ensure that we are prayerfully seeking preparation and opportunity to engage in loving encounters with the lost in our families, our neighborhoods, our communities, and to the ends of the earth. Back to the bio part. As a retired senior military officer and consulting engineer, Jim desires to serve others through local church ministry to make Christ known and to disciple other believers. He is pursuing theological training, and he has served in church leadership for 8 years as a deacon. You know, the last 8 years in serving with GCBC has taught me more than 30 years in the military about servant leadership. To truly lead others, they must believe your heart is solidly focused on the greater good for them and the ideals that they hold most precious, Jesus Christ. My ideals and mindset of seeing Christ honored through our local church over these past 10 years has been corrected many times. My strength as a military leader was in my ability to think and execute strategically and relationally at the same time. What I thought was my strength in military leadership has proven to be one of my greatest weaknesses in ministry leadership. God works in unforeseen ways, driving me to my knees constantly in weakness to revalidate my trust and confidence in His mysterious will and ways as He graciously allows me to be part of His plan of redemption. My strategic thinking falls way short of God's plans, which leaves me often confused and frankly humbled. God is constantly showing me my selfish bias and why and how I relate to others in our congregation, bringing me to the awareness of my broken state and yet showing my desire to grow in godliness. As I am allowed to continue serving at GCBC in more theological roles, I see an immense value in being grounded in Scripture and solid theology. I am blessed by the depth of teaching I have received at GCBC from the fellow church pastors. I have my own research department called Kim, who constantly engages my theology with a vast array of theological books and articles. Now, if you've ever come across an article and you want somebody else to comment on it, Kim has probably seen it as well. So send it to her. But she has grounded in Scripture and she has solid theology. I am blessed by the in-depth teaching I have received at GCBC from the fellow church pastors, as I noted. This has all caused me to validate what I believe and how it impacts my worldview and the application of my daily walk. If God wills, I hope to continue in more theological training through a variety of resources under the guidance of the pastors here. Back to the biography part. Jim grew up attending church on a weekly basis. After attending church sporadically in college and his early adult life, I was drawn to salvation in Jesus Christ in my mid-30s. Recognizing the merits of education, hard work, and good citizenship did not bring satisfaction promised in the American dream, my heart was turned toward Christ for salvation. My recognition of my broken talents and hard work are but dirty rags, and that my heart is filled with a wretched selfishness and self-deceit. Kim and I were saved by the grace of Christ, by His mercy, through repentance and being born again in the service to Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Now, I can say that I knew God had called me from a very young age. I continually struggled with the complex order of life all around me. I knew that the greatest of impact of our human society that I could do was of little value. It's interesting how you know these things. I often meditated on who God was and how I could come to know him and choose to follow him rather than being a slave to what others expected of me growing up. Despite all those longings, I chose over and over again the false pleasures of fitting in with my peers and chasing what others deemed as successful in my career and family life. I attended a Lutheran church, generally weekly. I was confirmed. And I left to serve in the military and go to college. I am sure that the gospel was present, but I did not have the eyes to see nor the ears to hear, as my focus was on impressing others and enjoying my peers. This was the state of my heart, deceitful. Even when I met Kim, graduated from college, took my first career job, got married, and moved out east in search of career success, I was lost. But God, right? Our favorite two words. By God's providence, Kim and I hit a very rough patch in our marriage. After being assigned out-of-town work for over a year while she was in town attending graduate school. Looking back, this was God's providence of suffering that he allowed me to go through to draw me to recognize my ultimate need to find my joy in Christ and Christ alone and not her, my wife. I cried out to the Lord in brokenness for many months to save my marriage, but more importantly, place my heart's desire on Christ and Christ alone. But against my advice to God on his timing, God allowed this period of drawing to continue in brokenness for an extended season. During this time, I went back to worldly thinking, seeking the advice of psychologists, using entertainment, alcohol, my career, and peers to distract and cover any of my sufferings and challenges. God eventually moved us back to Minnesota, where we lived in Rochester and eventually settled up here in Lakeville. During that time, God continued to show me that joy and contentment would not be found anywhere other than in him. After realizing that every angle for happiness through career success, peers, entertainment, etc., would always return void, I decided to scope out a church once again. I started quietly, sneaking off to attend Wednesday night Bible studies at a local church. I told Kim I was working late, or at least joining the team for happy hour, which would be in alignment with current society's expectations of getting ahead in the office. After a few months, I realized I needed to confess to Kim that I wanted to start attending church on a regular basis, and I asked her to consider coming with me. To my surprise, she agreed to be supportive and provided, she said she would attend provided we could use the church time to meet other young couples, to extend our group of mutual friends, which we had few. Living away from extended family and college, friends, it can be very lonely if you are unable to connect with your community and people in your community. This started an intense time of Holy Spirit drawing both of us to Christ, introducing us to biblical thinking and brought about close Christian friendships. Through a ministry called Alpha, which focused on teaching the fundamentals of a Christian belief in a small group setting, I was saved and developed a longing to grow in Christ and to study the Bible. We learned and served with that church for a few years until they had no further structure in place for deep Bible studies. The pastors felt led to be seeker-sensitive and to share the gospel with the lost rather than investing in deeper word-based theological training for the sheep to continue to grow in Christ. With their blessing, we started working to find a church focused on expository preaching, a high view of Scripture, and Christians walking the talk. GCBC had run an ad in the local paper for Easter promoting expository preaching, verse by verse through the Bible. Not only was it truth in advertising, but we were overwhelmed with Christ's love from the fellowship the first month we attended. I pray that our experience in being greeted and called into close fellowship right away is still the experience of those who visit our church even today. Back to the biography. Jim is married to his wife, Kim, and has four children residing in Lakeville, Minnesota. Kim stepped back from medical profession and the business ownership to parent and homeschool their children. Jim retired from active military service in 2018, where he served in commanded readiness engineering information technology units for 30 years. Although God has given our family a special insight into the doctrine of adoption through our ongoing blessing of adopting our girls out of foster care, we do not place emphasis on birth or adoption in our family as the root of how our children came into our family unit. For as much as our earthly families are to be a picture of our godly family, we must place our eyes on Christ, who makes all of us one family in true equality, sharing in the enormous righteousness of Christ. We receive this amazing gift by adoption into the eternal family of God because of his sacrifice for each of us. Back to the biography. After years of unbalanced devotion to his military career, Jim is now blessed to redeem his time in biblically parenting his teenage men and young girls. He is quick to point out to his wife, he is quick to point out that his wife, Kim, had the much harder role as the homeschooling mom and often single parent for many years. Jim recognizes that the Lord has opened his eyes to placing his identity in Christ and Christ alone. And Jim desires to grow in Christ and help others to know and grow in Jesus Christ. Do not be fooled for a minute that we can escape the consequences of sin. We may be forgiven, but sin has consequences and is always regrettable. Due to my persistence to ignore the calling of God to give up my selfish desires and career identity, I placed an unimportant aspect above the most important. I traded time with Christ, my wife, and my boys, and the ministry to serve my idols. I pray that God will allow me now to worship and serve him, my wife, and family, and local church from this day forward with his blessings. This is my testimony in how God went about drawing me, showing me my brokenness and need for a redeemer, saving me by showing me Christ's sacrificial and sufficient love for me, and by growing me in daily sanctification through the means of grace at GCBC. I am eternally grateful that God chose to humble himself for me, that I would be saved unto a new life in Jesus Christ and be adopted by my loving Father, to give him honor and glory in my life, now and for all eternity. May your life, your identity, be found in Christ and Christ alone. Now, I thought it only fair, since I didn't have any specific scripture in there, to at least tell you what my most favorite verse is. My wife might be surprised because this is probably one of hers as well. So I looked at why I like certain verses. And if you do that, it might be interesting for you because you'll be able to see some themes. So some of the themes that catch me are adoption, suffering, if you haven't figured that out. It seems like I always do devotions on suffering. People wonder, what's with you? Sufferings, perseverance, human weakness, power of prayer, fruit of the Spirit, spiritual service, identity in Christ, conforming to Christ, and transforming the mind. So the verse I'll share with you today is Romans 12, 1 and 2. You're all familiar with it, I'm sure, on dedicated service. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So in closing, my drawing, calling, justification, and sanctification has had a central theme of searching for joy. For most of my life, I have struggled in finding joy. After being saved, I often struggled in maintaining joy. It was not until recently that my soul has been lifted up in joy. a joy of finding my identity only in Jesus Christ, not in my career, in my human relationships, my gifts, my talents, entertainment, worldly success, nothing. Only in Jesus Christ alone. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity tonight to share my testimony and how you, Lord, not only were patiently drawing me, Lord, and that you would save me and pay that bloody price on the cross for me, who of all people I know does not deserve it in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, not only that you would justify me, but then that you would be so persistent in lovingly allowing me to be sanctified by this church, these pastors, this body, by your word, by suffering, and by the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We know that our identity is in you because you are in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And that is the great gift. That is the great mystery that we have moving forward to all eternity. How can we not have joy if we would just rest in you? And so, Lord, I pray as you have taught me that I would maintain that joy, that you would maintain that joy in me and keep my eyes focused on you. And we pray, Lord, that everyone here tonight and those that couldn't be with us could either discover that joy or be able to hold on to that joy of their eyes being focused on you and only you. Lord, we know that there are sufferings, there are challenges, and you're not taking them away, and they are meant to be here to grow us into being more like Christ. That is your goal, that we give you honor and glory, and that our walk in your light shines through us to others. So, Lord, we pray that that would be the case even here in GCBC and little old Lakeville, Minnesota. Amen.